to us. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon your word tonight, Lord. Lord, I just ask that every word that comes out of my mouth, Lord, is only from you. Lord, we ask your anointing upon this evening, upon the ears that hear this message, Lord, upon all of the ones who are not here, Lord, that really need to hear it. Lord, I just ask your blessing upon your word above your name. In Jesus' name and for his glory we pray, Father. Amen. Okay. All right. So tonight, Bill obviously is in Las Vegas gambling. No, just kidding. He's taking a day off. God bless him. And he definitely deserves that, I'll tell you. So what I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to go through Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is unique. It's unique in the way that it actually describes what the Lord went through on the cross. Some of the things that he was feeling, some of the things that he was experiencing, and why David penned this. Actually, it was penned as a musical or as a song. Interesting. So the things that the Lord went through, David recorded here 1,000 years before crucifixion even was thought of. Every detail. Psalm 22 covers that. What I'd like to go through is verse by verse and go to the gospel passages or give you the gospel passages where they can be found. The first verses of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? And why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? What was interesting about that first verse to me is, do you realize that Jesus did not know the separation from God before he came? Do you know he did not know pain? Do you know he did not know sorrow? Do you know he didn't know any of the human feelings and emotions that we all go through? Many times we go through these things and we think, Lord, where are you? Why isn't my prayers being answered? I can't breathe. This cross is too heavy for me to carry. He understood that. He totally understood that when he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? He experienced our loneliness. He experienced our failures. He experienced our sadness. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. We've all been there. We've all talked to the Lord at nighttime in the dark, in our beds, or driving. Lord, help me with these situations. Help me through this. He understood. He understood the doubt. He didn't have the doubt. He became human so that he could be able to understand, just like it says in Hebrews, he understands everything that we go through. We do not have a God that's alienated. We do not worship a king that does not understand every detail about us. And he loves us with an everlasting love. He did that for us. He stepped out of eternity and he became separate from that joy that of the presence of Almighty God. I often thought about when he was being crucified during this reading of this. After the scourging, they took him up the walk to Golgotha, and he carried his cross. You carry your cross. Your cross can be many things. And he understood the weight. He understood the weight. That cross that he carried was mine. Every drop of blood that fell from him onto that road, every drop of blood after he was scourged, guess what? He said, I love you. I'm doing this for you. the creator of the universe, the king, separated, left his throne in heaven to come down here to pay for me. And he was separated. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. Matthew 27:46. If you want to go to there, and Mark 15:34 covers that, the quote on the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That's when he cried out. What's interesting about the words that came from the cross, do you realize that the cross was actually a suffocation? They died of suffocation. What they had, when they were nailed to the, with the hands and feet, this is his love for you guys. This is not a sad moment. This is when we talk about communion, and he said, remember me, okay? Remember what? Yeah, he fed 5,000. Yeah, he fishes, loaves, and all the other stuff. Is that what he's talking about? No, he's talking about the promises. He's talking about the promises that he made, that he covered, that he completed. So I was walking up there. I was thinking last night, every drop of blood that fell on that street, he said, I love you, and I'm doing this for you. And then when I read Psalm 22, and it was a song, when he's on the cross, I was blown away by that. Verse 3 says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, Lord. They trusted in you, and you delivered them. Lord, they cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Trust is one of the hardest things that we have, I think, in our walk with the Lord many times. Do I trust him? We trust him for the little things. We trust him sometimes not so much for the big things. Oh, praise God, I got rain today. Thank you, Lord, for that. Praise God, you know, he helped me with this thing. We praise him for the small things, but there are large things that he did, eternal things that he set in place. Verse 6 was interesting. By the way, verse 6 was interesting. He says, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. A lot of Christians are despised. A lot of Christians go through deep water. A lot of Christians have issues with those outside. When God says, but I am a worm, that worm, by the way, is a worm that attaches itself to a tree. When it gives birth, it bleeds to death. It dies. When it gives birth to life, to its offspring, it passes away. That's the worm that he's talking about there. And no man, a reproach of men, desired by the people, despised by the people. All those that see me ridicule me. Christians get ridiculed. People that are walking with the Lord, because here's what's happening. We live in an age of deception, and we don't like ridicule. Sometimes people will succumb to pressures from other entities, other groups of people. You need to be at this. You need to be at that. You need to be this. Instead of saying, no, I have Christ. I'm walking with him. He's walking with me. He's in me. Okay, I don't need to follow the religion. I don't need to follow the works. That is not the requirement. My requirement is to trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the one that saves me. He is the one that paid my sin. He is the one that's being talked about in Psalm 22. He's the one that's going to be hanging on the cross, and we're going to see what happens and the pain that he goes through for us. Ridiculed, they shoot out at the lips, they shake the head and say, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. I can tell you from my experience at my little job there, there are people that will, we talk about the Lord, well, you, that's your Jesus. That's your Jesus. That's your religion. Okay. That's good for you. Well, guess what? That's comes with salvation and speaking unto the Lord. When we trust in God, sometimes it doesn't come. Let me back up for a second. Expectations, you've heard me say many times, expectations are pre-planned resentments. When I have expectations of how God should react to a situation or how he should heal a situation or how he should, guess what? And it doesn't happen. That's an expectation. And it's like, why not, Lord? Because it wasn't his plan. His plan is to bless us. There is growth. I don't understand it. I tried to look it up. I tried to do some reading on it. Hebrews talks about the suffering to perfection. What does that mean, to perfection? To perfect us to in trusting in the Lord, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the outcome, I'm trusting in him. Lord, I don't understand this. I don't see it. I don't see the end of this, but I know you love me, and I know you love me, and you will see it through, regardless of how I feel. We go by feeling so much sometimes that the whole world, we're going by all the commercials are happy things. You know, if you get this, you're going to be happy. If you get this, if you do this, it's going to be feel better. Well, guess what? Feelings don't get you to heaven. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ is who gets us there. It's in him. So David's praying here, and the Lord's, and they're saying this to Jesus. In fact, it's on he was mocked. Matthew 27. Verses 39, 34, and Mark 15, it's up there on the board. Those who passed by blaspheming, wagging their heads. Can you imagine? He knew each and every person that did that. He created them. He knew them. He formed them in their mother's womb. And when he was crucified, Isaiah said he had no form or comeliness that any should desire him. So because visually they couldn't see this Fabio up there, they made fun of him. They mocked him. They mocked him. Onlookers mocking. He trusts in the Lord, so let him deliver him. And a lot of Christians, a lot of people will talk about that too. Well, you have a trust in the Lord. Why don't you let's see what your God's going to do. Verse 9, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast, and I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Guys, if you don't get anything else, understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord knew you before you were even born. He knew the plans that he had for you. He said, I know the plans for you. I am going to do good and not to do evil, to give you an expected end. Those are hard to see when I look outside with my feelings and, the circumstances and everything going on in the world. No, the expected end is you are going to be in eternity with Christ. That's the expectation. What happens in verse 14 and on, actually we'll get down to there. In verse 11, he said, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. What's interesting, when Bill was talking about in John, when the disciples got into the boat and they went to the other side, and a storm came up out of nowhere. Total chaos. They had no one to help. When we get to the end here, and this is what David's talking about here, and the Lord is speaking that because he is feeling every pain, every loneliness, every sorrow, every setback, every human possible emotion that we go through, Christ was feeling that on the cross for us so that he would know and understand, because Hebrews says we don't have a high priest that doesn't understand. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our strengths. And by understanding it, he moves in, he corrects us. And I say, Lord, I don't understand this. I belong to you. You make it work. Your will be done. We're here temporarily. This is going to be over in probably 3 hours. Just kidding. Everything is temporary. Yesterday was temporary. It's gone. You can't go back. Tomorrow, I have no idea. Right now is right now. And when we are in the thick of it, we can't see tomorrow. We can't see His hand. But know assuredly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, His love for you cannot be changed. His love for you stands firm because He, and that's the biggest issue I have with the big communion it's closer to the Lord. It's trusting in Him. Okay, so verse 9, but you, okay, back up for a second. Let's go back to verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help me. Boy, what a great place to be. What a great place to be. There was a story about a pastor who was at church, and he got a call, emergency call, your house is on fire. And he goes, what? Your house is on fire. And, you know, he finished the service and he went home and it's just shambles. I mean, just, you know, ashes. And he's out there jumping around praising God. And that's why, are you nuts? You just lost everything. He says, yeah, but now I get to see what God's going to do. You know, that's the heart that we need. When trouble comes, when things fall apart, yeah, that's good. Praise God, because He's going to move. Because when things are easy, when things are going smoothly, guess what? It's quiet. But then when things get chaotic, He comes walking on the water. He comes walking on the water to you. And when He gets in that boat, when He gets into your life, that settles it down. It's like, okay. Okay, Lord, thank you for that. Many bulls, 12, have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. The anger, the viciousness toward the Lord is of Satan, period. Okay? There are, Christians worldwide are true Christians that are walking with the Lord are being attacked. In some countries, they're being slaughtered. Okay? When Rome was burning, Nero was executing Christians. He put them on post, nude, put oil on them, and burned them alive. And they were praising God. I often wondered in the Colosseums, how is it that they would bring the children in first with the families, Christian families, they'd bring the children in to be destroyed by the gladiators. Then they would bring the wives in, and they're singing praises. They're singing praises because God, that you cannot go through the fire like that without the Lord and have that joy. With the Lord, there is joy. With the Lord, because they knew what was coming. They knew what was happening. I sincerely believe that they physically, they moved out of their bodies. Their bodies, this body is temporary. This body is going back to dust. My soul is eternal with the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul is eternal with God. That's our end game. So when Jesus is on the cross and He sees them coming around, He knew exactly who was going to be there and who wasn't going to be there. And what they were going to say. And he's David speaking here what he was going through while Christ was going through while he was on the cross and 1,000 years before it happened. How did he know? Well, all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's good for edification. Verse 13, they gape at me with their mouths, like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. On the cross, when they were crucified, their hands were nailed to the cross. Did you know that all the pictures that we see of the cross, you see them up in the air. Guess what? The Romans, when they crucified them, they were only like a foot above the ground. They could almost touch the ground, but they couldn't because they were nailed there. And for them to speak, and Jesus spoke seven different times on that cross. When, for them to speak, they actually had to pull up with their wrists and the pain and push up with their ankles, with their ankles. And the pain and the muscle spasm shot through their bodies, extremely painful. And they're put to inhale so that they could speak. He did that. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Okay, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He pulled himself up and he's crying out unto the Lord. Why have you forgotten me? Because he felt the pain that we feel when we feel that he's not there. We feel the he felt our loneliness 10 times, a million times more than we do. Bones are like, and then when they sank back down, the joints would start to disconnect, start to pull out. And they sank back down. And as they're doing that, they're suffocating on that cross. And they would pull themselves up to take a breath and come back down again. Your God, the King of the universe, the one who created heaven and earth, the one who holds all of this together, if you get into the sciences, the atomic structure, the structure of physics is mind-boggling. And they don't understand what holds it together. Christ holds it together. When he was carrying my cross up that road and bleeding to death, he was holding the earth. He was holding all of these things, all those atoms together so it didn't explode, because he knew what he had to do. Not only did he know what he had to do, he did it with joy. He said, for the joy that was set before him, in Hebrews, he endured all of these. What joy was he talking about? You. You're going to spend eternity with me. You're going to spend eternity with God. You're going to That's the joy he was talking about. I am giving to you my life so that you can have my life in eternity. And you know what's interesting? There's only going to be one person in heaven that's damaged. You know that? And that's Christ. That's it. Not you. You get new bodies. He doesn't. But you know what? He did it with joy. And what's interesting, when we get into the book of Acts, and after he rose from the dead, when we get into the book of Acts and we see him, we see them in the upper room. They're thinking they're going to get crucified along with the Lord. And they're worried and they're praying, oh God, we don't want to, blah, blah. Anyway, we don't know what they're praying. But the Lord came walking through the wall. Was he sad? Nope. Hey, what's going on? Are you okay? Because they didn't understand. Neither do we. Neither do we. We know all these things. We know loneliness. We know all of the pain and suffering. They didn't understand. Then Thomas spouts up before that, and he says, "If I can't put my finger in the nail prints in his hand and his side," and the Lord didn't upbraid him for that. He didn't chew him out. He goes, "Here, Thomas, put your hand on my side." Well, know what's interesting about that? If I opened up my side and said, "Here, Rady, put your hand on my side," there'd be a gooey mess. What was missing? The blood. Do you know where it's at? I do. It's on the altar covering you and I. Man, if you don't get anything else, my desire is that people have such a close relationship with God that we feel his heartbeat. We feel his presence in adversity, and when times are tough. And the Lord's hanging on the cross in this section of God's word. Couldn't get any tougher. He's crying out here. He's abandoned. We feel abandoned sometimes, but you know what? There's a song that says, "I go to the cross of my salvation. I go to the one the builders rejected." So Psalm 22 really outlines what's going on. Many bulls, 12. So they gave at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. Boy, talk about details. Talk about details. 1,000 years before that. Verse 16 and 17. We'll get into that in the section here. When he says, verse 15, poured out like water, all my bones are out of joint, my heart is like wax, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. That's in John when he says, Jesus, John 19, verses 28 and 30, Jesus says, I thirst. And John 19:33 said, no bone of him was broken. Do you know in the sacrifices, they did not break the bones of the lamb. They didn't break any bones because that was prophecy. When Bill talks about prophecy as patterns, 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 this pattern fit exactly on Calvary to the letter. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of the earth. Most men that were scourged by the Romans died during the scourging. They bled to death. Christ said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. He would not give up his life no matter what, because he had total control. If he has total control over that, he has total control over your life and my life. Total control. I may not see what I think should be done, but he knows exactly what I need and when I need it and when it happens. And I could tell you many stories how the Lord, when we look back, we see his hand in all of this. We can't see forward. And that reminds me of Moses. When Moses said, God, can you show me your face? God said, no, you can't see my face, but I'm going to let you see my backside. Now I'm going to let you see my finished work. Can't let you see the future, but I can let you see the finished work. And he took Moses and he put him in the cleft of a rock. Not on the mountain, not in a tent. He put him in the cleft of the rock, and he saw the glory of God from behind. We can see God's hand in our past. We can see God's hand in all of this. Scripture, time and time again, we see God's hand in God's word. We see his hand in the Exodus. We see his hand in the sacrifices. We see his hand with Joshua, with David, with all of them. All of the patriarchs, we see God's movement in there. He promises. His promises are yea and absolute. They cannot be rescinded. When he said, you will spend eternity with me, you are sealed. He says, we are sealed until the day of redemption. So all of the things that we go through, the suffering, the pain, the doubt, the fears, the sicknesses, and believe me, we all know about the sicknesses. The sicknesses, yes, they are real to us. But God's got that. He's got a hold of them. Verse 14, he talks about it. My heart is like wax. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of the earth. So the next one is interesting. For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has endorsed me, and they pierced my hands and my feet. Crucifixion was not even thought of 1,000 years before that. But they knew it was going to. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. That is an interesting statement. When you go to Isaiah in chapter 6 says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up in his throne, and his train filled the temple. Do you remember the woman who had the issue for 20 years? Okay, and she just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Do you know what that his train and the hem of his garment represented? Power. authority, righteousness. All she wanted to do was touch the hem of his garment. And guess what? They didn't tear his garment in two like they normally do. They didn't split it. They cast lots for it. That meant he was still in power with all of that what was going on at the foot of the cross. He still had control. Wow. Oh, man, that's cool. Verse 18, they divided my garment among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Verse 22, he says, but you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Remember now, he is at this moment in time the Lamb of God. Being slain for us on that cross. He's alone. He doesn't sense his Father with him. Doesn't sense power with him. Deliver me from the sword of my precious life and from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild ox. And horns, basically the power of what's going on. You have answered me. So when Christ went to the cross, he declared that it was finished at the end. And I am one that believe with all my heart that when he said it is finished, all creation exploded in praise because he won it back. And guess what? There are so many people today that just walk by the cross. When we come to the communion table, you know, it's not just a tradition. That's what we really, Dennis knows it. Tradition, we don't do the tradition. When Christ said, do this in remembrance of me, I thought the other day, remembered what? How many fishes he, how many people he sold, how many fed, how many loaves of bread? No. Remember him. Remember his promises. They are firm. Verse 22, I will declare your name to my brethren, which he did. He's doing it right now. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Oh, man. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. When Christ was in the wilderness, being tempted, he was weak. Lord, there were angels that were sent to minister to him during that time. He does that for you. When we are falling, when we are in trouble, when we are going through things, there are others that go through those things. We come alongside them. We talked about that in our Bible study. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He works through each and every person. When I have an issue, I have someone that comes alongside. They may not even know what it is, but they'll say something that I think, whoop, that's of the Lord. When we carry our cross on our backs, we have a choice to make. I can choose to be strengthened by it, trust in the Lord. My cross could be financial, could be physical, could be mental, could be family, could be marriage, could be many, many things that life is exposed, we are exposed to. That cross, when I carry that cross, guess what? The Lord's carried mine. So I can either be strengthened by it or I can curse it and allow it to crush me. Sadly, most use their cross to as a sword, because when they're under a lot of stress, they lash out. The Lord didn't do that. Verse 25, he says, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forevermore. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, Lord. For the kingdom of the Lord, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Whatever's going on worldwide, don't get upset. Look up. Look up. Rejoice. And I got to tell you, those who have truly have the Lord in their heart, I believe, has a burning desire to bring those who don't know the Lord into the kingdom. I mean, that to me is powerful. That to me is evidence. I want you to know Jesus. What is it about you that, I've heard that story before. What is it about you? You're different than everyone else. What is it about you? You're always happy. Well, I'm always happy because I've got Jesus. It's in him. Okay, I can tell you when I wasn't there, there's no happiness. It's chaos. It's darkness. It's evil. It's wickedness. But when I'm in him, there's a peace that passes all understanding, even in the turmoil. And on the cross, that's what the Lord felt. Even all of the things he went through physically, he experienced everything that we experienced physically, he experienced double. Actually, greater than that. He experienced it because he understands our frailties. He understands our weaknesses. He is not a God that cannot understand what we're going through. And remember, all of this never existed in eternity with God the Father. It didn't exist. He was with him. I was with you. And then when God says, when we get into another psalm there, but get off the track here. So all the ends of the earth shall remember, verse 27, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom of the Lord is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship, and all those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. Does that sound familiar? Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Christ. How did David know that to write that? Verse 30, posterity shall serve him and be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. Guess who that was? You. When this was written, you weren't born. Declaring his righteousness to a people that will be born. That's us. That who did this? The last verse of that, the last part of that, that he has done this. Not you, not me. He went through that for me. He did it. So the question is, no matter what life brings, know assuredly the Lord knows, and he will bring you through. He did all that for one reason, to save us. And how is he doing that? He stands before God Almighty and makes intercession for you and I. His blood covers us. His righteousness, his robe of righteousness is on you. You can't take it off because you didn't put it on. He did. And when God moves, it's firm. He stands to make intercession for us. He stands in my place. Yeah, I know David's this, David that, but you know what? He's my son. He's my child. So whatever you think of, what was interesting about this Psalm 22 when I was going through there trying to put the notes together, it was a musical. It was music. It was set to music. And what's interesting about setting scripture to music is it
you remember it easy. When we were children, we thought, did ABC, EFD, right? ABC, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, that whole tune. And that's how we learn. When we want to study God's Word, when we want God's Word in us permanently, I praise God, put it to music, put it to a score that you can remember, something simple. And that's what the Jews did. That's how they remembered a lot of things, is they would have music. It was all music related, because the cadence, the music, caused it to solidify in the mind. And then when you go out and you're by yourself and you're with the Lord, and my wife will tell you, I'm constantly whistling or humming praise music. And you know what? It gives me peace in hard times. It gives me peace when there's doubt. It gives me peace when I'm afraid. Because there's something about praising God. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of men. So when you are praising God, guess what? He is inhabiting your praise. And we did a Sunday school thing with some kids. I brought a lamp up and said, here's a lamp, and the light's not working. Well, it's not plugged in. Oh, we got to plug it in. So when you plug it in, the light starts working. Why? Because the power is in that, it is going through it now. That's the praise of God. When we start praising Him for His righteousness, for His mercy, for His grace, what He's done on that cross for me, and not only that, when He rose on that third day, that was so glorious. That was the most monumental event in the history of the universe, because the grave was empty. And it's kind of interesting. Notice what was, a stone was rolled away, right? And so they could go in. Do you know the Ten Commandments were written on stone? Think about the parallel, the word picture there. They were written on stone. That stone was rolled away. This stone was rolled away. So we have access now into the Holy of Holies to sit down with your King, Creator of heaven and earth, Sustainer of everything. And He says, I gotcha. You're my child. So as the Lord leads this week, think about it. He's standing before us making intercession. And what it cost. Each of us have that a cross to bear. It's nothing to compare to what He did for us. And David mentioned that all the way throughout Psalm 22. I encourage you to listen to that song. There is a song, by the way, that goes with that, a score, if you would. And that score is Do in the Morning, D-O-E in the Morning. It's kind of interesting. It's a very, it's slow tune, but it's a visceral. It's a heartfelt tune. And when you hear that and you read this, put those two together, is it possible that the Lord was singing on the cross? I don't know. Is it possible that He was rejoicing because He knew what was to come? I don't know. But His body suffered. And His body suffered because He paid for everything that I've done. He became sin. He took our sins, what we talk about. Yeah, Jesus took my sins away, yes. But you know what? It was greater than that. It was more intense than that. He literally, according to the Scripture, became that sin. He became that. And it was judged. And Hebrews says, we have no need that any priest or any high priest, we come straight into the throne room of God to find boldly, it says, come into boldly. Hey, Pop, I'm here. Boldly to come into the throne room of grace to find help in the time of need. So this week, praise God. I don't go as long as Bill. I'm sure he's listening. But any thoughts? Any comments?